Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We've looked at the characteristics of the God kind of love. Remember, there's a worldly love. There's a fleshy, selfish, it's all about me kind of love that the world knows, but we're talking about the love of God. This is an unconditional, perfect love that never fails, and we were looking at it over here in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and I'll just run through it in a quick review. We saw over in verse 4, it says that love suffers long and is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Patient, that means. Love does not envy. The Amplified Bible says love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Have you ever been boiling over with jealousy? You don't have to answer that question, but love doesn't do that. Love doesn't do that. And then also in verse 4, it says love does not parade itself. The Amplified says it's not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Doesn't display itself haughtily. And then it says, is not puffed up, is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. Verse 5, does not behave rudely, is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly, is what the Amplified says. Verse 5 again, does not seek its own. Amplified. Love, God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Have you ever? Yeah. Verse 5, is not provoked, is not touchy or fretful or resentful, thinks no evil. Amplified says it takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Has anybody ever wronged you? Well, yeah, people have wronged us, but Bible says here that when that happens, love doesn't pay attention to it. Doesn't pay attention to it. Praise God, isn't walking around offended and hurt by what others have done to it. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Amplified says it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and true prevail. Verse 7, bears all things. Amplified, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Believes all things, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Hopes all things. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. Endures all things. And it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. This is the love of God. An unconditional, unselfish love. And you and I have it on the inside of us. We have this love of God in us. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Now, after going through these different characteristics of God, my question to you tonight is, now think about the things we just read before you answer. And here's the question. Is there really such a thing as tough love? Yes, no. That was quick. I think that probably sums it up. Yes, no. No answer. That's great. How many people would like to know? Huh? I mean, I'm not just talking about just guessing at something here. I'm talking about you know. I mean, we just went through what love is. And really, when you look at it, was there anything in there that was tough? Tough on people? Huh? Was there anything that was tough on people? And yet we hear about tough love, don't we? So, but, you know, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you look at that, and you'd come up with the conclusion, I think, that there really is no such thing as tough love. But in reality, there is. Actually, there is a tough love. But you see, this is where people are confused. They don't understand the love of God well enough to really be able to walk in it and recognize it in their life or in the lives of other people. Because, see, we don't really have, well, I don't know, is there such thing? Well, if you just look at 1 Corinthians 13, there's nothing tough there. And God is love, right? But that's not all God is. The Bible says that God is light. He's not just love. The Bible says over in Romans 11:22, it says, therefore, consider, think about the goodness and severity of God. Now, notice that God is both good and severe. There's the goodness and severity of God. God is both merciful and yet he is a God of judgment. There is a hell. The Bible says that God created hell. He never created it for mankind to end up there, but he created for the devil and his fallen angels. And unfortunately, much of mankind has joined in on Satan's rebellion, and they themselves will find themselves in a real hell, a place of torment that goes on forever and ever and ever. Somebody says, no, that's impossible. God wouldn't have a place like that. No, there's no, it's not literal. Hell is not literal. No, God's a good God. God would never have somebody torment for eternity, forever and ever. You don't know the severity of God. I mean, as awesome as heaven is, I mean, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be just so good. Just so perfect. Paradise beyond words. Right? Well, as good as God is severe. And so a hell is as awful as Jesus said it was. Hell is as awful as the Word of God says it is. So God is both good and severe. But yet, God is not going to compromise his goodness for his severity. And yet he's not going to compromise his severity for his goodness. Somehow the two have to be working together. He has to be both good and severe all in one package, all at the same time. You understand? So in other words, his goodness is in his severity, and his severity is in his goodness. There's love and goodness in mercy, but there's also love and goodness in judgment. So we have to understand this balance about God, if we're really going to understand him, if we're really going to understand love and be able to walk in it in our life. Like I said, God is love. God is love, but he's also light. Now, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 says this. It says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. What does love do? Love covers. What do you mean by covers? What do you mean? What do you mean it covers up sin? What do you mean by that? Well, it hides it, right? Covers it up. If a person sin, love doesn't stand up and just make a mockery of somebody that is sinned and just air out everybody's dirty laundry, right? Love covers people. Love doesn't gossip and slander. Did you hear what happened? Love doesn't talk behind people's back and talk about people's shortcomings and failures and sins, does it? No, love covers it. Love covers it. Proverbs 17, verse 9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love. So if you're seeking love, walk in love with somebody. Here it says, you cover their transgression. You cover them. But yet right on the other sense, God is light. And light doesn't cover things. Light exposes things. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 13 says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. But yet you are beloved. You are a people of love. You're a people that are full of the love of God. You're a people that are walking in love. But you're also a people that are walking in the light and giving off light. So love is covering, but light is exposing. See, they work together. Now, people that don't have this balance, and there's a lot of Christians that don't have this balance. There's a lot of churches that don't know anything about balance. They don't know anything about balance. You've got the first church of the cover-up. They just cover everything up. It doesn't matter how people are living. We're not going to pay attention to that. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about sin. Sin is kind of irrelevant today because Jesus came and he did away with sin. So we don't talk about sin. So you can sin, but we're not going to see it. We're not going to care about it. We're not going to talk about it. It's okay if you live in sin. We just cover the whole thing up. It's the great cover-up church. And then, of course, there's that other church that is the first church of the exposing of sin, the manifesting of sin. It's more of a legalistic church, and they just air out everybody's dirty laundries and talk about sin, and you're not right with God. You need to get right with God. What's that going on in your life? What did you do today? What did you look at? Where did you go? And we just keep talking about sin, and we got a big spotlight in that church. And the Lord showed me that, you know, if a church or believers just emphasize the goodness of God, they're going to end up in licentiousness, which is lawlessness. There's no rules. It's just right. There's no rules. And usually in churches like that, they'll talk a lot about the grace of God and how we're not under the law. There's no law. Law not for us today. The law is the Old Testament. We have nothing to do with the law. Get that law out of here. Even though the Bible says that it's no longer written on stone as in the Old Testament, but now through the New Covenant, it's written on our hearts. So it's hard to get rid of it. But they're lawless because there's no law and there's no sin. We cover everything up. It's all covered. Christ covers everything. It's beautiful. So a church that emphasizes the goodness of God, they just end up licentious, while a church that emphasizes the severity of God, they become very legalistic, and everything is the law. Everything is the law. Everything is about what you can't do, what you shouldn't do, what you're doing. Right? So we're not supposed to be legalistic. We're not supposed to be licentious or legalistic. We're to walk in liberty. And praise God, if you get in the middle of the road and consider these things and understand the perfect balance of God, then you will walk in freedom, which is what the Word of God is to produce in your life. Hallelujah. And I like liberty, don't you? Praise God. We should be enjoying all kinds of liberty in our life. So, what I want to do tonight is I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want to go through it now, last week, and I encourage you to get the tape. Tonight's message does not nullify last week. Okay? Last week, we emphasized love, what it looked like. All right? Tonight, we're going to still talk about love, but we're going to bring light, God's light, into God's love so that we have a more balanced, perfect understanding of the subject. So coming back here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, looking at verse 4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. It's patient and kind. Now, many times people think when it hears about love suffers long, they kind of envision a punching bag. That those that walk in love are just a punching bag hanging from a chain, you know. And they're just out there to be abused and pushed around. And what do they do? What does love do? It just sways on the chain. As Rocky Balboa. Just works out on them. Just works out on them. And so people feel like they're a punching bag. A punching bag of love. Just to be abused by everybody. But that's not right. That's not right. Love suffers for people, but is not a victim of people. And we have to know the difference. Love will suffer for somebody, but it will not be a victim of somebody. I'm nobody's victim. Are you with me? So you have to understand that, because again, I think people think love suffers long, man. It's a victim. They got like this victim mentality attached to it, but that's not the case. Love fights for people. It doesn't patiently allow itself to be beaten up by them. The love is patient. I understand that. It's patient, and it suffers long with people, but it's not allowing itself to be beaten up by them. Love will fight for them. It'll suffer long in fighting for people. It doesn't suffer long by being a victim of people and being beat up by people. That's not love. That's stupid. It's not wisdom, is it? No. Love stands up for people. It doesn't lie down so they can walk over them. We're to stand up for people. We're not being walked over. Love is kind. It suffers long and is kind. It will kindly remove itself from the presence of evil. It will kindly remove itself from evil people. It doesn't just allow itself to be abused. And it's also a holy kindness to kick ungodly people out of your life. That's right. It's a holy kindness. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll give you a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. It says this. But now I have written to you, to the church, I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. Now, that doesn't sound like love. Does it? Does that sound like love? Love suffers long and is kind. It's kind. It's kind to that sexually immoral person. Isn't it? That covetous person, that idolater, that reviler, that drunkard, extortioner. It's kind to him, isn't it? Yeah. Sure. But the kind thing, so the kindest thing you can do to some of these people is to kick them out. Kick them out. In this case, kick them out of the church. Kick them out of your fellowship. Kick them out of the party. Don't have fellowship with them. Well, how is that love? Because it may be the very thing they need to bring them to their senses. You know, the prodigal son, most you know the story of the prodigal son. He never would have came to himself if he had not become one with the pigs. When he got away from father's house and he was out there eating the, desiring to eat the pods that
fell from the pig's trough. I mean, he was in a low place. This little party animal, you know. He took all his father's money, went out there to party and smoked it and drank it and did it and hung out and lost it all. And the Bible says when he hit rock bottom, he came to himself and he realized, what kind of fool am I? What am I doing? And guess what? It caused him to humble himself and repent and return home. See, sometimes people, you know, the best thing you can do for them is let them hit rock bottom.
Oh, I couldn't let them hit rock bottom. That's love.
No, you're just thinking about yourself and how it makes you feel.
I couldn't. It would just crush me.
Yeah, you'd suffer. You would suffer long by letting them hit rock bottom. See what I'm saying? Now, don't get too excited about this. Don't be excited about letting people hit rock bottom and, oh, I am justified. Jesus, yes. I knew I should have hit him with the frying pan. I knew it. I knew it was God. It was God stirring me up. See, that's why I get concerned preaching this other side, you know. Because people don't know how to stay in the middle of the road. Thank you, Pastor, for that license to kill. Please remember last week's message. Pull it all together, folks. Get the heart of God. Get the balance. We care about people. We're putting others first, even in judgment. Even putting somebody in jail can be done from a motive of love. And sometimes it's just selfishness that would cause somebody to go bail them out. Not always. I'm not saying don't bail somebody out. If you know somebody in jail, you're going to bail them out tomorrow. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we have to be led. We have to be full of the love of God and full of the wisdom of God. Full of God's judgment and justice and understand these things. Because sometimes we run in there and we wanna rescue the person and we pull them out and they're not ready to come out and they actually destroy their lives and other people's lives even more. So we don't want to react out of fear, but we don't want to react out of hate either. We want to react in love and mercy, but at the same time, we want to do justly, do the right thing, walk in the wisdom of God. So in a lot of things, you just got to be slow. You got to understand the goodness and severity of God, understand love and light, and walk in the balance of these things, and consider these things before you make decisions. Consider both sides of these things. Count the cost, get in the presence of God, fellowship with Him, get His wisdom on how to handle this. But what we don't want to do is just do things out of selfishness, out of pride, out of anger. And we're just mad and we're just bitter and we're just frustrated. And so we're going to make this decision because, bless God, the pastor said love is tough. And if he said love is tough, then bless God, you're out of here. Well, no, you're angry. You're anger. You're being led by anger. You got to be led by the love and light of God. We gotta walk in the middle of the road with this thing. We saw there that there's a time to remove yourself from a situation that's causing you harm, causing you pain. And sometimes there's a time to move other people from the situation, and it's just wisdom. I didn't say run and get a divorce tomorrow. I didn't say that. We have to understand that there's a balance. And we're not going to do it because I just can't stand it anymore. That's just you. That's not love. That's selfishness. So you see, two people could do the exact same thing. To one, it's sin. The other one, it's righteous. They're doing the exact same thing. But what's motivating it? See, what's motivating it? Is it self? Is it all about me and my life and protecting me and my own? Or how I feel?
Or is it really having other people's interests in mind? Is it really being led by God? So sometimes it's just a matter of, it's not that God would have a person not do something. It's just he wouldn't have them do it for that reason, from that motive. And so sometimes God will stop people from doing something. He'll keep dealing with them, and he'll try to keep them from being able to do something. Not because they shouldn't do it, but because they need to get their heart right first and do it for the right reason. All right, love. Love does not parade itself. Oh, yeah, praise God. Remember we were talking about the selfies? It's not boastful, vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Now, some people take this to mean they can't say positive things about themselves. Because after all, they don't parade themselves. Love doesn't parade itself. So therefore, they can't. If they hear somebody saying positive things about themselves, they're like, they're in pride. That's not love. They're puffed up. They're having their own little parade over there. Because love's not boastful. Doesn't brag, doesn't boast, right? So some people tell you that, I mean, you can't even be positive. And people think that Christians, therefore, are to be homely and introverted. Just to themselves, just withdrawn. Don't look at me, look at Jesus. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And there's no confidence. There's no confidence. They think it's love. It's love. They're cowered over. It's love. It's love. That's not love. It's timidity. Notice this here in Romans 11, 13, what Paul said. Romans 11, 13. Paul said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office." Amplified says, "I lay great stress on my ministry and magnify my office." The CEB translation says, "I publicize my own ministry." The CIB says, "I make known the importance of my work." I let people know how important my work is. The CEV says, "I will take pride in my work." This isn't a haughty, puffed up pride. He says in the Darby translation, "I glorify my ministry." The DRA says, "I will honor my ministry." The EXB, I will make the most of, glory in, take pride in, and magnify my ministry. So it sounds like he has no problem talking big about the work he does. Talking big about what he's doing. Talking big about what he's got going on in his ministry. See, if we don't understand this balance, we'll look and we'll think, well, look at him, he's just talking about himself. He's in pride. Well, how do you know? How do you know? See, you don't want to just judge according to the flesh. What's the motive? A lot of times you don't know. That's why you got to just do what love does and believe the best in such situations. And don't think evil about people, but believe the best. Because you don't know, so you might as well believe the best. Isn't that right? So here he's talking big about his ministry. Quite obviously, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Romans 12, 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Now, he did not say, and this is, I think, how a lot of Christians read this, he did not say to not think highly of yourself. He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Now don't think highly of yourself, you dirty, filthy rags." He didn't say that. You're an old sinner. You're a bum. You'll always be a bum. That's not what he said. He said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly. Think soberly. According to the grace of God that's upon your life, according to the measure of faith that you're walking in. In other words, don't have an inflated opinion about yourself, but that doesn't mean don't have a good opinion about yourself. In fact, the Bible tells us over in Philemon chapter 1, in verse 6, it says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, what did he just say there? He said that your faith will become effective by what? Acknowledging what? Every good thing that's where? In you. So if we just walk around and go, I'm just a flesh creature, I'm no good, I'm just a dirty, filthy sinner, I'm just an old worm. If that's how we talk, your faith is like dead. People talk like that, their faith is dead. But if your faith is going to be effective, then you're going to have to start acknowledging the good things that's going on in you. In Christ Jesus. Not according to the flesh. I got nice hair. Well, it might be true, but you don't glory in your hair or your lack thereof. But you glory in the things that you have in Christ. Praise God. All the good things that are in you, in Christ Jesus. What God's doing in your life, count your blessings, man, and recite them before God. Recite them before others. This isn't bragging on yourself. This is bragging on God. Hallelujah. Talking about the good things you got and how important of a work we got going on here at Life Faith Bible Church and the work you got and the position you got and what you're doing for God and you know, whatever it might be, you are praising God in the things that you have in life. You got to talk good about yourself. Praise God. You say things like, yeah, I've been knocked down, but bless God, by the grace of God, I'm on my feet now, and I'm going to have and walk in the victory. Hallelujah. And you could pray, you could preach good things about yourself. You could say great things about yourself. You need to do it because it causes your faith to become more effective. So when we're talking about not parading yourself, we're talking about just not getting all caught up in your flesh, parading your flesh, parading who you are in yourself, and just bragging on yourself. There's a balance. We have to understand this balance. I like what he says in Jeremiah 9:24. He says, but let him who glories glory in this. In other words, he who brags, he who boasts, he says, let him boast. But let him boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. So God says, man, brag, boast who you are in him, what you have in him, who he is in you, that you know him. Brag on your knowledge, praise God. Share it with other people. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So that's love, and that's walking in the light at the same time. He goes on in verse 4. He says, love is not puffed up. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is not puffed up, is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. Love is not arrogant. Love is not arrogant. Although love isn't arrogant, it is not passive. But love is bold. Love is bold. And people have confused boldness with arrogance. And they think, well, you know, he's just so arrogant. No, he's confident. She's confident in her God. And the righteous are as bold as a lion. But the confidence, again, is in God, not in the flesh. And that's the difference. when your confidence is in the flesh and you get out there all confident in yourself and who you are, you're arrogant. You're arrogant, conceited. But you can go out there and act just, have the same kind of tenacity, have the same kind of attitude as an arrogant person, yet you're not arrogant, you're walking in boldness, because the source of your confidence is Christ and not yourself. That's the difference. It can look exactly the same. It can talk big. It can talk a big talk. But yet, one's bold and one's arrogant. Do you understand the balance? There's a balance there. So we're not going to just be, well, you know, I don't want to be puffed up. I don't want to be arrogant. So I'm just going to be passive and quiet and let everybody go in front of me. I'll just let everybody go in front of me. Because what love does. Love just lets everybody. No, you talk. You do it. No, you go ahead. I'll let everybody else do it. Things like that. See, that's not good. You got to be able to, excuse me. You got to be able to step up to the front of the line and say, excuse me, I got something to say here. I got something to do here. You got to be bold. See, but, oh, love, no, love prefers you. No, you go. No, excuse me, I got something good, thanks. See what I'm saying? Yeah. Somebody say balance. Yeah. We're a bunch of balanced believers, aren't we? Yeah. Praise God. Verse 5. Love does not behave rudely. It's not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Now, being mannerly is not being politically correct where you can't speak the truth. Because after all, you have good manners and you don't want to offend anybody. Who said having good manners means not offending anybody? See, there's a speaking up. There's a speaking out. There's a not just sitting back and allowing things to be said and things to be done that are wrong in the name of being polite. It's important that we are right as we are polite. If you're just polite, just focused on your manners, and you don't understand the importance of doing the right thing, saying the right thing, then you'll just be passive. And there'll be a lot of things you won't say, and you won't do a lot of things because you're going to be bound by political, spiritual correctness. But we need to be able to speak up and speak the truth. Love is tactful while being truthful. So it's tactful. It's mannerly. It's gracious. It's considerate of others. It's tactful in how it says the truth, but it says and walks in the truth, even if it's offensive to people. Being polite does not take the place of saying and doing what's right. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to say the right thing. And then in verse 5, he says, love does not seek its own. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Hallelujah, it's not self-seeking. Well, does that mean you can't seek your own well-being and prosperity? No. God wants you to prosper in life. He said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to increase in life. He wants you to seek your own well-being and prosperity so long as your life that you're seeking to prosper belongs to him. When your life is surrendered to him and you belong to him and you're consecrated to him, then bless God, when you look good, he looks good. Your prosperity becomes something that glorifies and honors him. And we have to understand that. So we have to seek our own well-being and our good. But we're not just living for ourselves in doing that. We're seeking our own well-being and good because we represent him and we're living the life he's called us to live. We're living by faith, not by the flesh. But if you just live according to the flesh, and then you want to prosper and you want to learn how to increase in life, well, you're just self-seeking. Do you see the balance there? Verse 5 goes on. He says, love is not provoked, is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Is not provoked. Doesn't get resentful. Not angry. Well, does love get angry? Does love get angry? Well, we know love gets angry. We've seen that with Jesus. I mean, he walked into the temple, and there were those in there making a mockery of God's house, selling things, and Jesus made a whip, and he drove the money changers out, kicked over their tables. I mean, and he was angry, wasn't he? Yeah, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians, it says, be angry, but do not sin. Notice that, be angry, but do not sin. So you can be angry without sinning. There is an anger, and again, I don't want to give people licenses. Just when I got to stop, take a little commercial break here. We're not talking about out of control anger. We're not talking about you just being angry because of how you feel. I'm not talking about being angry because out of your feelings. I'm talking about there's an anger that comes from faith. It's a righteous indignation. And don't spiritualize something if it's not spiritual. Don't spiritualize the flesh and say it's God. It's a righteous indignation. And meanwhile, it's just your flesh. You're freaking out. You're upset. You're angry. You're touchy. You're touchy. Love isn't resentful in that it doesn't hold things against people. But it does hold them accountable for what they've done. I love that. Love isn't resentful in that it doesn't hold things against people. But it does hold them accountable for what they've done. In other words, somebody does something wrong. Love doesn't sit there and say, well, it never happened. It never happened. I don't believe it ever happened. Well, that's ignorance. Love doesn't say it doesn't happen. Love doesn't hold it in their heart against the person. Love isn't resentful when people do things wrong. But love says, well, it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Well, it keeps people accountable to what they've done. In other words, it's for their sake and for the sake of others. So people have to prove themselves. People have to prove themselves trustworthy of things. And so when they are not, they do things that aren't trustworthy, I'm not going to hold it against them, but I am going to hold them accountable to it. For their own sake and for the sake of others, they're going to have to come up and get those things corrected before they're allowed to just come in and have free course in the church or in our home or in our lives. You understand? There's a balance. There's a balance to these things. Acts 17:16. Now, while Paul waited for them. Now, we just read that love is not provoked, didn't we? All right. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. So he's sitting there in Athens. He's waiting for some folks. And he starts seeing all the idols. And look what happened. He got provoked. But we just read love's not provoked. But yet Paul got provoked. Amplified says it this way. His spirit was greatly angered when he saw that the city was full of idols. The Amplified Classic Edition says his spirit was grieved and roused to anger as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he got upset. But he's still walking in love. Because he's not angry at the people. He's angry for the people. He's not angry out of his own personal legalistic religious spirit. He's just mad at people. He's not mad at people. He's mad for people. That's interesting because Paul, before he got saved and became the great apostle, he was Saul, and he persecuted the church. And he was an angry man. I mean, he had Christians beaten and imprisoned and tried to get them to deny Jesus. He was an angry man. He was a religious man. This is a completely different man here. That man, Saul, was angry at people for what they were doing. But here, he's angry for the people of what these idols are doing to them. So when we're talking about being angry, we're not talking about being angry at people. We're talking about being angry for people. And we'll do whatever we got to do to deliver them out of that situation, to open their eyes. And sometimes love will do things to shake people and open their eyes. But it's all to help them. It's not to beat them down. It's not to treat them less than yourself. See the difference? See? So we think, well, you know, love's not provoked, but Pastor, just today. Well, there are going to be some things that provoke you. But let it be for people, not against people, not at people. Can you say amen? Verse 5, love thinks no evil, takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. So again, love is not personally offended by how it was hurt and made to suffer. But it does recognize and avoid an abusive person. Let's just sit there and just keep blindly going back into some mess because they're walking in love. No, you're walking in the dark. You're not walking in light. That's what you're doing. And that's not love at all. So, verse 6, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. In other words, love doesn't celebrate even a wicked person's defeat, but it does celebrate a good win. Hallelujah. You know, there might be a football team. You want them to win. But you know what? You know what's wrong? Is when folks, they're watching a football game and they say, I just can't stand that coach. Cream them. Beat them. And they want their team to win because they hate the other team. That's not good. That's not good. That's not love. That's flesh. That's not Christian-like. Are you with me? It's sin. You got to watch that. You got to watch that. No. You don't want evil to happen to someone else. You don't want somebody to be defeated, but you just want what's good and right to win. Hallelujah. Verse 7, bears all things. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. In other words, love doesn't fall apart, but it will, from what's wrong, depart. All right? So it bears all things, but it's not just going to stay in a bad situation. Believes all things. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person? In other words, love is ready to believe the best while soberly aware of the presence of evil. So, you know, we have to understand. You know, even when talking about yourself, you believe the best about yourself, but you also understand that you're subject to temptation. Right? You also have to, in humility, you have to recognize your weaknesses and your ability to really mess up. Right? See, so we talk about how great we are in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the righteousness of God. But then we also recognize that we have this flesh and we have minds that still need to be further renewed with the Word of God. And so we understand our weaknesses according to the flesh, and therefore we humbly submit ourselves to God. Right? And we need Him. So there's that balance. So it's the same thing with other people. We believe the best of all people, but that doesn't mean I'm not aware of evil tendencies in people, because, you know, People do things wrong. There's been good people that have really done some really bad things. And really, you know, messed up a lot of people's lives. And people get shocked about it. They say, I can't believe they did that. Well, you see, that isn't walking in the light. Because if you're walking in the light, yeah, you can believe that. Because you know people's weaknesses. So we believe the best about people and things, and we're encouraging the best to come out of people, but we understand the potential in people to do the wrong thing. And so that keeps us vigilant and watchful. And we don't just keep our doors unlocked at night, and right? We still take precautions and things, and we believe in the best, but we're not just walking around in la la land like there's no evil in the world either. We understand that. Somebody says, I can't believe I did that. Well, you see, you should have. You should be able to believe it. I believe you can do it. See, nothing should shock us. We have to understand. The reason why it happened many times is because it did catch you off guard. Because you didn't believe it. You didn't know it could happen. Well, you need to be aware of the potential of evil while believing the best and believing for the best in all things and in all people. Can you say amen? Love endures all things. It endures everything without weakening. In other words, love won't weaken, but it will withdraw to refresh and build itself up. It still recognizes. I understand when my faith is getting low, and I recognize when I need some R&R. I recognize, you know, I don't just, well, there's something wrong with me because love wouldn't feel this way. Love doesn't weaken, and I'm starting to feel weak. No, love light understands I need to go get refreshed. I need to do some things. I need to get some sleep. I need to whatever it is. Get refreshed. Pray, don't sin, but get refreshed. Everybody say, love never fails. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. But we do have to recognize that even though we don't plan on losing the war, there might be some battles that don't quite turn out the way we wanted them to, but praise God, we're growing and learning from those things, those mess-ups in life. Isn't that right? So we're not failures just because we fell. We're not failures just because we fall. A failure is someone that doesn't get back up. It's someone that falls and doesn't get back up again. It's a quitter. It's someone that turns their back. We don't quit. We don't turn back. We don't draw back from Jesus. If we fall down, we get up, but we keep moving forward. Friend, you have not failed if you're still moving forward with Jesus. Hallelujah. The love of God is still keeping you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand on your feet tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.